Welcome back into the show, live from Radio Row in Atlanta. It's been fun so far. I'm having a good time out here. It's organized chaos. It's more like partitioned chaos. There are chaoses in different areas that are very clearly restricted by credentials and whatnot. At one point, Saquon Barkley was walking through, and there was just a mob of people. I think he had like four like state troopers or something. There's a lot going on here in Atlanta, but it's been absolutely excellent so far and has no sign of stopping. Me and Seren Petro are here all the way through the action on Friday, getting you whatever it is that happens throughout the way. Well, so speaking of, we go to Dan Wallach right now. He is sitting beside me in the flesh. Explain what this picture is, please.
Despite the security staff around Saquon Barkley, I think I infiltrated the front lines, and I was stalking his interview on the Tiki Barber and Turney show on, I think, it's CBS Sports Radio.
Okay.
So because of my media credential, I was able to kind of infiltrate the inner sanctum and wait for him to finish his spot. And I talked to him, and I said, listen, I'm the biggest sports betting attorney in the country.
Yeah.
I'll get you the biggest endorsement deal of all time.
Yes.
As soon as the NFL relaxes its policy, and he said, come with me. I want you to meet my marketing representative.
All right. That's the move right there.
When you make someone $1 million, you get a selfie.
Yeah, no
more,
kidding.
More than a million. Obviously, if you were to quantify and value who's going to be the most valuable sports betting sponsorship deal among currently playing professional athletes, you'd have to put Saquon Barkley
top three, if
not number one.
Speaking of, I would love for you to be able to take a selfie with me. It's not, I mean, listen, you've already set the terms. You make me a mill. You've all the pictures you could ever want. But until then, I'm going to have to continue to be pretty restrictive, I think, on my picture taking.
Sure, but there's one other condition precedent. That's a good lawyer's term.
Precedent is
the
very good.
The state of Missouri and their state legislature must actually pass a sports betting law for your sports betting sponsorship deal to have any real value. Now, Barkley plays in the state of New Jersey, and that's the largest marketplace for online sports betting in the USA. So his deal will skyrocket to the top. So I think we're going to sign you to a futures contract. And in the 2020 NFL season,
I'll take that.
You could be a star on the rise.
I'll take that. I can look ahead to 2020. I don't even know if I've explained what you've done, what you do yet. Dan's a sports gambling law expert, so I mean we're going to be able to get into so much interesting stuff here. We got to talk about this a few months ago. We stumbled around and we talked to Johnny Carver, who I know you know well, about a lot of these pieces. But now we're done with that Padawan stuff, and we're here to talk to the Jedi about everything that's going on right now. So,
Johnny's an up and comer.
Listen, there are a lot of good Padawans.
Yeah. 5 years from now, he's going to be a rock star on Radio Row.
That's true. And he will still have not made me a dime. So that's really what I'm looking for is I need that relationship to turn into him looking out for me more than just himself. I'd like him to be a little more selfless, which everyone really does.
I think he introduced the two of us, so
that's
in
true.
Some way
that's true.
He gets a finder's fee.
You're right.
Okay, out of your cut or out of my cut?
That's right. We can discuss that whenever there's a cut. Whenever there's a cut to talk about, we'll figure out what Johnny gets out of it. But I guess sort of first, could you paint us a little bit of a picture, give us a little bit of a crash course for where sports gambling is right now for people who might not have been totally neck deep in all of this stuff for the last several months?
Well, for anyone who's been living in a cave.
Yes, yes.
Since the Pete Rose scandal, sort of dominated.
Rings a bell. Rings a bell.
In the late 80s, early 1990s, the sports leagues really became concerned about the prospect for the growth of legal sports betting, and they were concerned that states like Florida and other states that had their eyes on expanding their gambling footprint would allow sports betting. So the four leagues lobbied Congress around 1990, 1991, and convinced a number of influential lawmakers to enact a federal sports betting prohibition that wasn't directed towards the activity that the public would do, but would forbid state governments from legalizing it. So if state governments couldn't legalize it, then people couldn't do it legally.
I see.
It's that element of the law that came under attack in a later challenge brought by the state of New Jersey. And New Jersey was arguing in 2018, 26 years after the introduction of PASPA, yeah, which basically froze everything in time. No sports betting outside of Nevada, which was grandfathered.
Right, which is
and
so odd.
So the grandfathered states were allowed to continue offering what they had, but only Nevada had single game betting. Delaware, Montana, and Oregon had these like parlay cards where you had to, you know, pick, you know, 932 consecutive games correctly.
Right.
And they didn't really matter, okay?
Right.
Except in Delaware, it was a pretty vibrant activity. It made a lot of money for the Delaware Lottery. But New Jersey argued that the prohibition directed to state governments kind of violates states' rights,
sure,
under the 10th Amendment. And while Congress was free to outlaw that activity outright and just prohibit the public from doing it, once you direct the prohibition at state governments, you can't do that unless Congress decides to regulate the activity itself.
Right.
So Congress can pass a number of federal laws that supplant state regimes, but do some kind of regulation in its place.
Right.
In Missouri and in every other state, we have a food stamp. You have food stamp programs,
sure,
that are, it's a federal food stamp program that's administered by state governments, and the federal laws in that instance provide a regulatory framework for states to follow.
Right.
But you can't simply tell the states you can't do something at all.
Right.
And that was the constitutional infirmity that underlied the Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act. And seven courts disagreed with New Jersey, and then finally, after asking the Supreme Court to intervene, the last and highest court in the land, mm-hmm, disagreed with all the other courts and said this is a constitutional violation of something called the Anti-Commandeering Doctrine. It's probably the only time those words will ever be mentioned on Kansas City or any sports talk radio station around
that's
the country.
One and only right there.
And that law was jettisoned by the Supreme Court, and as of May 14th, 2018, the date of the decision, any state that wishes to create a legal environment for sports betting is free to do so. And seven new states have taken the Supreme Court up on that offer.
Right.
And two more, New York and D.C., have recently announced intentions to,
right,
create a legal environment. In fact, they're legal already in New York and D.C., but it's going to take months for the apparatus to roll out. So
okay,
right now, eight states are taking bets. By this time next year, I would expect the number to be closer to 20.
This time next year.
Easy. There are 20,
excellent,
30 states that will have bills introduced, and one-third of those states or more will likely legalize. Missouri
has
several states, several bills pending. Massachusetts.
So what's the ETA on Missouri? Like, let's start, because we know Missouri is closer than Kansas, but by how much?
No, Kansas has several bills as well, but the issue in Kansas is, well, will it be run by the lottery? Will horse racetracks be allowed to offer it? And Kansas City and
Missouri, I don't care about any of those parts.
In Missouri, the issues are, you know, pretty similar to Kansas. It's a, you know, there's a vibrant, you know, casino community within the state, and I think the question comes down to whether there's broad stakeholder support for it. Obviously, every stakeholder wants to see sports gambling legalized because it's money for everybody, money for the casino, money for the racetracks, potentially for the lottery. Even the leagues, sports leagues, benefit indirectly to some smaller scale. But the leagues want certain integrity protections built into the state law, such as
them a cut of.
I wouldn't call it a cut.
Okay.
Let me clarify here what the leagues do.
Right.
If you add more gambling and more sports betting, it increases the level of risk to the leagues. As if there were no sports betting, there'd be no match fixing. So the more you nationalize it, and not all of the betting is going to, you know, come from former bettors in the black market.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the new betting will come from people who've not had experiences with offshore sports books, sports fans that may bet casually that now are going to go to the local casino or racetrack. So growing the pie nationally will increase the risk to the leagues that somebody will try to influence or manipulate the outcome of a game or share information.
So then why do the leagues still want it? Because I know that they do. We've seen them start to partnerships have started and with casinos and everything. So what is the benefit to the leagues?
Detection. If you have all the betting taking place in a legal, regulated, and monitored environment. Mm-hmm. And that betting information is shared in real time with mm-hmm. the regulators or the leagues. You can track. Every internet sports bet would have a digital footprint.
Right. That's true.
Right?
Yeah,
you'd
sure.
be able to track it. Insider trading. Somebody bets a lot of money on a meaningless game. Well, you see that in real time.
There's still a monetary gain for the leagues on some level, though, right? Even if it's like if it's kiosks in the stadiums or whatever. Like,
but Missouri is not proposing kiosks in stadiums.
Okay,
Missouri is proposing
that, right,
that the gambling or the sports betting licenses be given to the in-state gaming interests, which would be casinos. And then the online website or the internet sports betting websites would be partnered with casinos.
I see.
By and large, the most amount of revenues are going to be generated by or and earned by in-state gaming interests.
Are we going to get apps? Are they going to put – is that covered in this pitch for Missouri? Can we get an app on our phone that we, allows us to make those bets?
Yeah, to my knowledge, and I know there are two or three Missouri bills, but I believe they call for mobile betting, and mobile
I feel like that's
is
what the boom is, right?
Yeah, I mean it's the rule rather than the exception. In New Jersey, for example, mm-hmm. land-based sports betting got a 3-month head start on mobile. Mobile only began in late August.
Interesting.
And 5 months later, just 5 months later, despite the 3-month head start for retail land-based sports betting, 80% of the legal betting in New Jersey is done on mobile devices.
And it makes sense because, like, it feels like 80% of everything is done on mobile devices. Like, we're pretty close. We may actually be able to like buy groceries. I know we can do it online. I haven't done it yet. I'm a millennial. I should have probably bought my groceries on my phone by now. But like, that's where we're at. Like, it's buying your everything. Like, transactions through your phone are so easy. Sometimes they're so meaningless. You can buy whatever on Amazon. I bought tables on Amazon a few days ago. Like, I could absolutely decide, you know what? I don't think Jared Goff is going to do this week. Like, that's incredible.
If I told you that you'd have to drive 30 miles.
It's a lot.
In this cold weather in Atlanta,
yeah.
It's freezing outside.
It is.
You've got to drive to Marietta to open up a sports wagering account
You're
and then
right.
place a bet at some racetrack or casino and, pay a parking fee and get upsold.
You
gotta buy drinks and food, and it becomes a lengthier day and possibly a more expensive day. Or do you want to do the DraftKings FanDuel model and just sit at home, watch games on TV, and be able to download the app and bet on your mobile device without ever leaving the home? And I think that's where the industry is headed, and that's where the vast majority of the upside potential is. 80-20 mobile to land based because in most states there aren't casinos on every corner.
Sure.
Or racetracks.
Yeah.
Usually they're in the, 6 to, 15. And in populous states, even with, many casinos, driving as much as 15, 20 minutes would be an inconvenience to many people, not just millennials.
Right. Everybody with a phone, that wave has come strong. My parents have, obviously, they've got smartphones, and my mom is probably consuming this show through her phone at the moment. Like, that's probably the setup.
It's
how you get your fingertips makes all the sense.
With Netflix for you, people are going to the movies.
Yes.
I'm buying grocery items and normal consumer products on Amazon.
Yep. Yep.
We're all doing it.
Yep.
And to the extent that the sports betting environment can be fully mobile.
Yes.
But more importantly, not
let me bet against Jared Goff on my phone.
Yeah, but it's not just mobile in allowing mobile, but most of the states are doing is requiring these mobile operators to partner with the casinos,
right?
And the casinos get these online, skins where they're allowed up to 3 online betting partners and websites that they could sort of, do a revenue share with.
Mm-hmm.
I think the marketplace needs to be fully open and competitive.
Yeah.
There's no reason in the world why, a DraftKings or a FanDuel needs to have a casino partner
right.
to offer sports betting. They're already two of the top online operators in New Jersey
sure.
and will likely be in any state that they're in.
What's the difference with FanDuel and DraftKings and a few others have been around for a little while now? I know for a bit there was some concern on something on a legal level that obviously is not my expertise, but I'm talking to you. Which, by the way, how can people follow you, get all of your information, read what you're doing, all that?
Come to Radio Row and stalk me, just like I stalked Saquon Barkley.
Yes.
But my Twitter handle is at Wallach Legal, WALLACHLEGAL. I'm also the co-founding director of the University of New Hampshire School of Law Sports Wagering and Integrity Program. I run that program with Sports Illustrated's acclaimed legal analyst, Michael McCann, and it is the first law school program in the country to provide. It's an online program. You could be anywhere. You don't have to be a student at UNH.
Your phone.
You don't even have to be a lawyer. just a bachelor's degree. You can do it. We watch it from your phone, and we give you a certificate in sports wagering and integrity, which combines the legal, regulatory, and the integrity monitoring aspects of this new environment. And we have the top companies teaching this, Sport Radar, DraftKings, FanDuel. It's the best of the best. I can't wait until you can take the program.
When does it kick off?
It kicked off last week, but we're still enrolling students who, you know, just have to catch up 1 week. But today is the last day for this week is the last week for this semester. And then we roll out advanced courses and reintroduce the introductory courses every semester, fall, summer, and
awesome.
Fall, spring, and occasionally in the summer. So it's rolling basis.
Can you explain what it is, you know, give, I don't need all the content, I guess, but what's the gist of what it is that we're learning? More than just all the, you know, the titles you've given, how was it helpful?
Okay, if you're in the sports industry, mm-hmm. and every team, every league should have an executive or an employee who's well-versed in the legal and regulatory
Absolutely.
Landscape surrounding sports betting, the rules concerning gambling on a state-by-state basis, licensing issues, compliance issues, responsible gaming, safeguarding sport integrity, the various tools available to monitor the integrity of the sporting, you know, environment where there are wagers placed, you know, at racetracks, casinos, or online. We teach all the various methods for detecting unscrupulous behavior. We have a top level employee of the Department of Homeland Security teaching. We have people with money laundering, you know, regulatory experience, payment processing, KYC, know your customer, lobbying, governmental relations. All aspects of the sports wagering landscape are taught in this program.
Yeah.
And it's a really exciting program. Thanks for letting me go on and on about
it. It's very cool.
For a few minutes. In fact, I was on Scott Farrell's show last night talking about the program, and this morning one of his listeners signed up for the course.
Very cool. I hope we get you that transferred. Maybe it'll be me. I don't know. I working back a week, I've really enjoyed not being in a class of any sort for a couple of years now. It's been really good. But like, this one seems like a class I'd like to be in. So working back a week, I think I could probably pull it off. Maybe it's a next semester situation. Tell everybody again one more time where they can go to access that.
Oh, that's a trick question because I don't have the website handy.
No.
But it's the University of New Hampshire School of Law. Sports Wagering and Integrity Program. I think UNH Law's website or Twitter handle is UNH Law, or all uppercase. And there may be a link.
Sports Law Online. The certificate's on here. It's all right, listen, people. It's not that damn hard. Sometimes people come in with a sheet that just says, make sure you say this website three times. Google what we just said. There's a page on the University of New Hampshire School of Law's website for Sports Wagering and Integrity Certificate. There's a little rundown of all of it, all the benefits and everything, the rundown of what it all is. All of that there is all loaded up. So if you're interested, you can check it out there at the University of New Hampshire Thanks. School of Law's website.
Josh, for doing that, I'm going to bring Saquon Barkley over.
Would you mind?
Okay, I mean, you've earned it.
You know what? I don't want a picture with Saquon Barkley. I want in on your massive deal with Saquon Barkley that's going to change all three of our lives forever.
Hey, you can't put a price on what his brand ambassadorship would be worth.
I mean, how do you do that? So we're in Kansas City right now. Mahomes hasn't done a whole lot of
advertising. Oh, God, you're talking about number one in the market for sure.
So how do you quantify that? He just did a GoodSense commercial. Like, it's starting to roll out. He's got a catch-up deal now. Well, but what's that going to look like?
You know, his agent may steer him away from it. I mean, sports gambling isn't for everybody.
A little bit ago, we could talk to him.
Yeah, it's not for everybody. Maybe that's not the image he wants to present. And
sure.
He wants to do, family first or, you know, good causes. But there's a way to do this where you're not sponsoring or saying go bet on such and such. You're just a brand ambassador.
Yeah.
You're basically being paid a seven-figure amount just to have your name just for the company to have your name associated with it. So those are valuable, easy sponsorships. But I want to get back to why the leagues deserve what you call a cut of the action.
Yeah. Well, do you believe they deserve it? We also have a little bit of time. We're running out.
Yeah. They have added risk, which we went over.
Yes.
Added expense. Now, have to do monitoring,
sure.
investigations, And more importantly, or equally important, without the what the sports leagues produce, there's no sports betting. So in horse racing, for example, off-track betting, all the OTBs are required by federal law to pay the host track from where the races are beamed live. They have to pay them a percentage of the handle.
Sure, it makes all the sense in the world.
There's a law called the Interstate Horse Racing Act, which mandates that any local track, which wants to accept wagers or take wagers on races operated other racetracks across North America, have to get the consent of that host track, and inevitably those deals end up being revenue sharing deals where we'll give permission but we want X percent of the handle. And it happens in horse racing, and what the gaming industry and the horse racing industry don't acknowledge sometimes is that what the leagues are asking for is very similar in spirit, if not in, you know, text, to what the horse racing industry thrives upon.
It's fantastic. For all the info, again, you can go follow Dan on Twitter at Wallach, W-A-L-L-A-C-H, legal on Twitter. And you can check everything out for the Sports Wagering and Integrity Certificate. Boy, oh, man, I mean, I'm going to need five.
SWIP.
SWIP.
Sports Wagering and Integrity Program.
SWIP. I like SWIP better.
Okay.
Check out SWIP, Google Sports Wagering and Integrity Program, the University of New Hampshire School of Law. Thanks for making the time and for making us all smarter today.
My pleasure. Maybe we could enroll you for free for that spot. And we've actually offered the course gratis to members of the media in order to encourage them to maybe write about it if they're so inclined. No requirement.
Okay. You're speaking my language. It's not Saquon Barkley's deal, but I'll take it. Thank you, Daniel, for coming through.
Thank you, Josh.
Telling us all about that. More from Radio Row whenever we come back.